Wow. How long have you had that?
There's a story behind it that's better than actually having the Dikmayani.
Tell me the story.
So this is a prop from a Bond film. And on the back of that Bond film is a letter that I've on 007 stationery, to whom it may concern. This has been sanctioned by the Modigliani Foundation for us to reproduce this to put into the movie Skyfall, signed by Dennis Gaston, production designer. So that's on the back of it in case anybody comes here. And because it's the stolen Modigliani. And the reason that Sam Mendes and I came up with this idea, he said, "And we need to have something really special." And he said, "Well, how about a painting?" And my favorite artist is Modigliani. And so I said, "Well, there's the stolen Modigliani, which is my favorite piece." And I showed it to him, and he said, "Done. This is it. We have to have this in the movie." And so that's what's in the movie. And Barbara Broccoli has one, and I have one. I made two.
And who made them? Who actually painted
We
them?
have the best copyist in London. And so it's
By the way, GL in Italian is Lieu. So it's just Modigliani. The G is silent.
Modigliani, huh?
Modigliani.
Modigliani. Well, of course you would know that. I wouldn't know that. So anyway, so that's been all almost everything in here is from one of my movies.
Tell me more stories of more things in the
Oh,
movies.
how much time do you have?
All the time in the world.
These are quite rare. These two pieces here. These were in a film called The Hudsucker Proxy.
I love that film, Coen Brothers.
Coen Brothers, and Paul Newman and I used to sit here because it was his. These were in his office, and we used to sit here, and he would tell me all his old stories of all the films that he was on, and I got to know him really well, and it was really fun. You know, I mean, it's you know.
Did you design these?
No, they were Nancy Haig, my decorator, and I found them at a shop in Hollywood. They were back in the back room. Nobody cared about them. We're all taken apart because there's each piece. There are three pieces to it,
Wow.
They're George Nelson's. We just recovered these. We found a mill in Paris that was repurposing this old fabric, and so we, at great expense, got it and had these recovered. Luckily, my London decorator, Anna Pinnock, got us a little bit of a discount on it, so it was quite fun. So, yeah. So there's a lot. Come if you want to keep going.
I want to see it all.
This is a set that I, again, my decorator and I bought. It's our first piece we bought for a film called Bugsy, which I won my Academy Award for, and partly was because of, I think, this and that bending
Was
and
that Warren
Warren Beatty.
Beatty?
Yeah,
Yeah.
they had many scenes here, but the big scene was where she throws the ashtray and gives him a scar. So he has blood coming down his face. I mean, it's an amazing scene.
You know, I worked for Dean on with Warren Beatty on Bullworth.
Oh, did you on
Yeah,
Bullworth? Oh,
I was 20 years old, and
wow.
I think we had the same kind
Yeah.
of mentor,
Of
right? Dean
course, we
Tavalares.
do. Yeah, no. So yeah, that was great. With I love that film, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
So this is from Brussels. I prefer the Belgian Art Deco compared to the French. The French is a little bit more, you know, has a little bit more to do. But the Belgian is a little bit more understated. So you can just see the quality of it. It's really fun. And just, I mean, details like this, you know, the inlaid work here on the shelves is quite fun.
And you started out working for Dean? Was that
Oh,
how you
yeah,
got started in the art department?
Apocalypse, yeah, Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Dean Tavalaris, the great production designer.
Well, the greatest, in my opinion. Cedric Gibbons and Dean Tavalaris. So anyway, I've been carrying on. So here's the kitchen. They're a little messy, but to go on in. So this is
wonderful.
The restoration of the house. So this is, Betty Davis lived here in the 30s, in the early days when she was just really kind of becoming, getting into her form. I call it more probably her glamour days.
Uh-huh.
So she was here for, nobody knows. I mean, there's so many stories about this house. It was a hippie commune in the 60s. It was all brightly colored, and there were probably 20 people living here. You know, this kind of stuff.
Do you know her, the famous story of someone asked if she has any advice for a young starlet coming to Hollywood for the first time? And she said, take Fountain.
Well, you're right there. Yeah. So this is, just where we live.
How long have you had the house?
35 years.
35 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's a little bit more to show. I'm just putting a cushion.
Oh, the view of the Capitol Records building is cool right there, isn't it? Look at that. Look how good it looks on the camera right there.
Yeah. It's really nice, isn't it? The Christmas tree is on that. The little stick that's above actually is a Christmas tree. So, at night it's beautiful, all becomes a lit like a tree.
But the old glass is amazing, the way kind of distorts in the most beautiful way.
That's a painting from Cuba that Amy and I smuggled out, that we found in an old junk shop. And it was quite fun. We thought we were gonna get busted because at that time, Americans couldn't go to Cuba.
Right.
And so—
When were you there?
15, 20 years ago, something like
that. I snuck in 1999.
Oh, wow.
On my Italian passport.
Oh, that's it. You can do that.
I went to Mexico with my American passport and then went to Cuba.
Yeah, yeah. So this lampshade, there's very rare, was in a film called World of Perdition, mm-hmm. Tom Hanks film, with my first Sam Mendes film. We're privileged to have it. You know, it's just such a beautiful piece with beautiful light. And let's see what else.
Wait, what's the story about the painting being stolen? Is it still stolen?
Yeah.
Is it gone?
Yeah.
No one knows where it is?
It's still, it's gone. We don't know where it is. And
where was it stolen from?
I don't know, somebody stole it. I don't know. That was the story.
Right.
We heard from the foundation, we heard that. We said we want this painting because we had a picture of it. And they said, oh, that's, nobody knows where that is. And I said, well, we want to, the idea in the story is that it's because it had pathos. So we were at in the scene, it was in Skyfall, there was a scene where it was basically a contraband piece that was being sold to a Chinese gentleman. Mm-hmm. And Bond came and there's somebody that was going to assassinate him, and he assassinated or thwarted the assassin, and but even though the assassin killed him, it's a Bond movie, right?
Yeah.
So now here's the let's go outside here, please. So this is my contribution to the house, is the endless pool. This is an idea that I got when I was in Maui. Went to a waterfall, a pool with a waterfall, and I was swimming to try and get to, I wanted to go underneath the waterfall and have it give me a shiatsu. And I couldn't get to it because the water flow was so powerful. And I was looking at where I was going. I wasn't moving anywhere. And I came back and I was saying, and I went out to Twin Falls and to Michelle and Tom. And I said, I got this idea from my swimming pool in the backyard. I have to redo this backyard. And it's called an endless pool. And what it is a flow. So I designed everything here. I designed the tile I designed, had made in Watts at a company called Malibu Tile that went down, and then somebody bought it and moved to Watts. And these wonderful Mexican women do all these these are all hand painted.
I have a bunch of original Malibu tiles that I got from my old friend David Greenberg.
David Greenberg, of course, yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, he had boxes of them that he bought out of the back of a truck once, like 30 years ago, and he would like sell them when he needed money, like so.
That's funny. Well, anyway, I know where you can get them new, and you can they have all the old patterns, and I cut, and then you can pick your own colors, and they'll paint them for you.
Yeah,
they're about $30 a piece.
Uh huh.
Yeah, so. I did a full-size pattern of this complicated system. So the swim line in the center,
the black line in the center with the tile in the middle of it, is where my heart is, and that's where I push off. I push off and I go into the flow. Let me show you what the flow looks like. So see that portal under the pot there. So here's the system.
So the system
pumps water. So like the waterfall was pumping.
Right.
So imagine the waterfall there.
Right.
Pumping water, and then I just push into it, and I can swim forever.
And it goes basically the same strength as your swimming.
Well, I can adjust it. It's adjustable.
Uh-huh. Amazing. So if you're feeling more ambitious, you put it stronger. If you're feeling...
That's
amazing.
Correct, yeah.
Amazing.
So that was the theory behind it. And it's a fun pool. I call this Hazel, which is my mother's name. And she gave me a little stipend in her inheritance. So that was enough to pay for the pool. And so it's going back into the pool.
Amazing. Amazing. That's a beautiful symbol. I love that. Great.
Yeah. Sitting area.
Where did you grow up, Dennis?
I was born in Vancouver, British Columbia, and moved to Portland and grew up in Portland, Oregon. And Eugene, Oregon, went to school, studied architecture at the University of Oregon. I was always a football player. I was on a football scholarship.
Really?
Yeah.
And then how did you transition into film production design?
I saw film. When I was in architecture school called Lawrence of Arabia, and I said, that's bigger than any building I'll ever build. I moved to Los Angeles, went to Art Center College of Design. They were just starting a film school. This wonderful French cinematographer, there were only six of us, and we made little movies, and a friend of mine, Doug Claiborne, who was also part of the film program, said, we're going to work on a movie somehow, and I got to figure this out. And the film was Apocalypse.
Wow.
So that's where we were. It's a 3-year school. It's kind of like getting a doctorate. You know, that school was so intense. It's out in it was in Hancock Park now.
So that was your first time working for Dean, was on Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
And you were out there for like 3 years?
No, I didn't. I was worked on stateside because I had a 6-month-old daughter, and I was married at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so Doug went and fed me stuff, and I fed him stuff, and so I was the stateside part of the art department.
Did you ever go out?
No.
Amazing.
Yeah, I didn't need to.
Yeah, because Dean said he had 3 birthdays there.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard about it. I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I knew that I had enough enough to raising a young one, you know.
Did you ever get screamed at by Dean?
Oh, of course. Well,
my earliest memories of working for him are just being...
I say that. I never got screamed. He never screamed to me. He did a lot of screaming at Alex.
Uh-huh, his brother.
Uh-huh. And I was involved with all that because we became kind of a triangle when we went off to Tulsa. When we were doing Outsiders and Rumblefish, we all lived in a house together.
Uh-huh.
And, Aurora.
So you never got directly screamed at?
No.
Oh, I got screamed at many times.
Well.
I thought it was a great way to kind of...
Bond.
Yeah, and pay your dues in a way.
No, I paid my dues.
I'm sure you did.
I paid my dues. I mean, I worked really, really hard. He got everything he needed out of me. And then at the end, after Rumblefish, we had a great job just telling it over the holiday. Ellie called up the art department. I always answered the phone, you know, and I said, "Hey, Elle, what's going on?" She said, "I need my Rolls Royce driven back to Napa. I was wondering if you guys were interested." And I said, "Yes." And then she's, "Okay, great." And I hung up, we didn't know how we were going to get back. And I said, "Dean, Ellie wants to drive. Do you want to drive Ellie's Rolls Royce back?" And he says, "Yeah, this is gonna be amazing." It was kind of our Hunter Thompson trip, so it was wild. Let me put it that way. It was really wild. Ellie thought we were gonna take 3 days, and we took 2 weeks.
Wow! From where?
From Tulsa to Napa.
Amazing.
And we timed it to arrive just at the Napa Harvest Party.
Yeah, but see, I worked for Dean first on Jack with Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh yeah.
And then it was all the Apocalypse Now crew.
Yeah, sure.
And that's when I got really, like...
hooked.
That's when I was, like, kind of his punching bag. Yeah. And then by the second movie, Bullworth, then we'd grown to love each other. Yeah, and everyone thought he was my dad.
He in a way, he's the softy, but, you know, he needs to have the bluster. That was the old technique, though.
Right.
That was the technique to get things done. But, you know, somehow he and I had this respect because he kind of knew what I had done. He'd seen what I'd done. I was already vetted as an architect, and then went to Art Center and made movies. I knew movies. And Alex went to Art Center, so Dean knew my pedigree, mm-hmm. and so there was a balance of respect there that was really fun, and you know. I mean, everything went smoothly when I got there.
Amazing.
That was kind of that was what I brought to it some way.
Go ahead.
Okay, so.
I remember hearing stories, because then I worked for Vittorio Storaro, and he told me that once Dean got so upset with him, with one of his crew for like moving a set piece, that he threw like an HDMI light into the.
I didn't want to do that.
What's that?
When the set is set, it's set.
Right.
You don't do anything.
Right.
You go in and you shoot.
Yeah.
You move things around, but you put it right back where it should be. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, and I heard that Dean was so angry that he threw the HDMI light into the river. Angelo, was it? Yeah, told me that story. Or someone who was on the set.
Angelo, what an amazing man he was. Worked for Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he worked for Frank Lloyd Wright. That was one of the first jobs too many stories.
Stories are good. We should document them.
you can read about it in my book. I'm doing my book now.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing it. Come on up. I'm going to show you some more. Let's go upstairs. Let's get into this room. This is there's a story here. Let me tell this story.
Yes, please.
So the original idea, what I heard from the gentleman who restored the house, spent 5 years restoring this house, and when we walked up to see this, we were the first people to see it, and we bought it immediately because it is so rare these become available. And he brought me in here, and he said, "Well, this was the bath. There was a small pond like I have there over here, and the Whitleys who developed this area. This was part of their garden, and there was this was a pool house. So you'd come down, and you'd come in. Well, this is called the changing room." And then you'd come into the bathroom here, voila. This was actually a little phone box. There was a phone in here. If a phone call was coming in, if you're on the toilet, then you could actually take your call. Here, this is a pass through.
Amazing.
And I mean, just look at the the details of this house.
We have a little tissue. This is where the tissues were. So tissues were put in. So you didn't have a box like that or that. You have that. And it's all original from 21.
The colors are just magnificent. I love these shades of purple and pink.
And black and so on. So
it's wonderful.
We find it very... So we brought a lot of Moroccan in, a lot of Turkish in from all of our travels. So this is mostly, that's Moroccan and this is Turkish. And so it's just this is Moroccan. This behind you here, Amy's uncle, the sculptress in Bucks County. And he had an amazing, he was a friend with Michener, and so I designed these pedestals too.
That's adjustable. I get a little nervous when things are out of alignment.
So these lights are quite wonderful. You can see they're Luma lights, and they have a beautiful glow for all the women looking at your makeup and so on.
What would you say is the relationship between like real life design versus film design?
The Whitleys. The Whitleys had invested. They are the people who bought this hill and then built all the homes. So they had incredible knowledge at the end of their time of building all these homes. That was the idea, was to get the best for the best and find something that integrated. And also, these were great projects for them because each one is different.
Yeah.
You know, it's very exciting. This whole hill is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Valentino, Chaplin, it said Betty Davis Luther. So everybody, so this is quite fun.
But what I'm curious about is like being obviously an appreciator of architecture, but you said then earlier, you said that, you know, designing for movies is better than ever any building will be.
Well, exactly.
Do you feel like the relationship between designing a space like this that you actually live in compared to something that's going to just be in a movie,
it's all character based.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a method designer, as Dean was a method designer.
What does that mean?
Well, the method, the acting,
uh-huh.
You know, the acting,
yeah,
and
yeah,
method,
of course.
You
of
know,
course. Yeah, yeah.
That Stanislavski and Meisner and all that, the method.
Yeah.
The method is the reality, what is real for you. And so, obviously, this is my life because it's, you know, every movie, of course, my decorator, Nancy Haig, who's like one of my oldest friends. And so let's say Bugsy's an example, and the table, and that whole set was part of it. Was, I said, emotionally, the content is right. And now what this is going to do for the actors, when the actors come in, it's going to lift their game, because all of a sudden they're reading, you're taking the words off a page, and all of a sudden you're living those words. Now I'm living my whole life here. My whole career is right here. I mean, here's an example. The still photographer Tim Robbins, I can't remember the film right now. I just got this chair, and he said, I want to take a picture of you. And I said, well, I know where this swamp is. And we were in South Carolina. I'd scouted out in that area, and I just threw it in the back of his van.
Is it a Coen Brothers film?
Yeah, it was with Paul Newman. And Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I should know this too.
You should know it too. It's the Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh.
And this is a picture that Tom took of us playing early chess in the house before anything else was built, and that was a
a chess set that he got in India when he was living in India. So that's early Dennis.
Tom Sewell, our other dear mutual friend.
A painting I did for Amy. When in our early days, Amy said, I said, well, what do you want? And she said, oh, can you do a painting for me? And it has to have, it has to be, my favorite numbers, it has to be 3s, 6s, 9s, and cats.
Amazing. 9 lives. How wonderful.
And these, Amy bought me a stereopticon camera, and the stereopticon camera had a flash unit from 19, I think it was, it had to be in the 30s. And I opened up the back, and these are the batteries that were still in the original batteries. And so I opened this up, and I said, oh, 3s, 6s, 9s, cats.
Amazing.
Amazing. So I did the painting for her. Anyway, so she said, can we just put it, let's put it up here. We have a lot of artwork, but she still likes this one. Thing. So, what else? So the sitting room where people, you would go to the pond, you'd be in the garden, you were a guest of the Whitleys at the top of the hill, you'd walk down and have a garden. This is a garden party place. This is really what it was. And then the Whitleys decided to move back. They'd made their money. They moved back to New York. And this house was sold to a psychiatrist and his wife. And so what they did, and there was a bungalow at the other far side where the dining room was. And so they hired an architect, and they said, we want this to look like a New York penthouse. That was the idea. And so he filled in all of this, incorporated the sitting room in this into one piece. So let's go upstairs.
This is before Betty Davis.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
This is in the 20s.
And when did Betty Davis have it?
Probably in the 30s. There's no great record of it, but as the story, a lot of it is word of mouth, coming from the old women who used to live here. All the old grand dames who outlived their husbands.
Is this your room?
Yeah, it's our bedroom here.
Do you play chess much?
Of course. Well, with Amy sometimes.
Who wins between you and Tom?
It's a toss-up, I don't know.
Toss-up?
Always a toss-up, yeah.
Have you ever designed a chess set?
No.
You should.
I know. Well, I don't have.
Have you seen Man Ray's? He designed a chess set.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. He asked Duchamp, you know, what kind of chess set would you like? And Duchamp said, I don't care. It's just a placeholder. Yeah. That's all in my head, really, you know? But then he designed a really beautiful one.
I'm sure he did, yeah. So wow. This is kind of what's nice about this. In downstairs, there's a big window on this side, an arch window.
Uh-huh.
And that used to be a fireplace. And when John Stevenson redesigned this, or he basically got it repurposed the whole thing with all the pieces, and he said, I'm going to put a fireplace in the bedroom. And so that's his addition to the house itself. And so this is winter stuff. So Amy and I sit here. These are pieces from Bugsy. These two chairs, this set here, the settee, and the two armchairs. Have a seat. One of the most comfortable chairs. Go ahead and sit down.
Oh yeah, very nice. Very nice. Next time we'll play a game of chess.
I know. Piece of art over the fireplace is Francois, is a friend of ours, a Parisian artist, sculptress, many pieces of hers.
Gorgeous.
Go up close to, so the writing is her own French language. And as you see this, the center
pull back a little, go actually go close to, go to not to the lighting, but up to the color.
Yeah.
And do you notice anything on the on that? Do you know what
it's
it
like?
Is?
In it's like, oh no, I don't know what it is.
So, so if you back up now, back up.
Uh huh.
Back up. It's a pumpkin.
Oh, and wow.
The scarification on the pumpkin.
Uh-huh.
And the pumpkin grew up. And then she figured out how to press it. She found an old paper press, old French paper press up in Normandy where they had a farmhouse up there where she grew the pumpkins. And so she pressed that and then on her paper. And then, of course, she did her writing. And her writing was this, her story of her grandmother who taught her how to do this.
Uh-huh.
Make, first of all, you make the garden, you watch the pumpkins, you start with the smaller pumpkins and they grow and they grow and they grow, and the scarification then becomes more prominent. As it, so if you look at it, I mean, if, she's wow. Amazing, amazing artist. Very subtle stuff. Here's first of all, I'm gonna tell you the one idea here, you know, one story I like to tell. This is the first, one of the first really nice pieces of Art Deco that we got when Amy and I got married from friends of ours. And when we got the house, you know, we said, well, where do we put the clock? I said, well, you're on this is the side of the bed you like to sleep on. So now I have to work hard and find something to put on my side of the bed.
Amazing.
And if that woman would stand up, would be the same size. If they could go out to the park, go ahead and pick
May
it up.
May I?
Yeah, of course.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's so heavy.
Yeah.
My God. Wow. Great.
And Amy's mother came and saw this, and she was an antique dealer. She said, "You need a crowd behind her. Here, I got a piece. I'm going to send it to you." So there's the revelers.
My, you know, David Greenberg's son Jonah is one of my best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got two of those from his grandfather Waldo Salt, who was Midnight nice. Cowboy,
yeah.
And Serpico, I think.
And this is the BAFTA.
Uh-huh.
Which is the English Academy Award.
Wow.
And that was from, I think, the... God, what was it from?
Let's see here. It's hard to read.
Yeah, I know.
May I pick it up? Oh, no, that one's really heavy.
Yeah.
I better not. It looks fragile. It's beautiful, though.
So
I love the two, one so on top of the other.
I only have this one, but I have two more of those.
Wow.
And let's see, yeah. So we have a little deck out here that's quite nice to look at, again, Capitol Records and so on. So Amy loves to lounge and read there.
She's Where is Amy now?
She's in her atelier. I'll take her down. I'll take
oh, she's
down.
Here.
Yeah, she's
Great.
Here. Yeah. And let's see, we'll go out, there's again, a period.
Another beautiful bathroom.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, this is one of another Francois piece. She did 20 of these pieces. In an old ruin, an old a church ruin, and this is all hand done with an India ink and a quill pen.
Wow!
So she did 20 of those. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, another one. This is fun. You know where that is? Well, that used to be. Now I think they're restoring it. So this is Amy.
Uh-huh.
It's a part of a photo shoot that I did for, you'll see a couple pieces downstairs for a film called Big Fish, the Paris, little second, small section in Paris that we did.
Is this your office?
Well, let's go here first.
Wow. Incredible colors here too.
I love the subtleties of the wave
mm-hmm.
tile here. That's so beautiful. You just have to touch that. That's just like so.
magical.
Wow.
All original.
The toilet's great.
And the these are kind of wonderful vanity lights here. These vanity lights here that actually adjust.
So this is the bathroom you use?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And then going into this is my office. This is where most of the thinking comes from.
Beautiful. What's this from?
That's just a friend of mine was doing an experiment with a laser cutter, one of the first laser cutters.
Uh-huh.
And he decided, well, I'll just do your name. So,
is this the other BAFTA?
Yeah, the other one I gave to Nancy because BAFTAs aren't given to the set decorators, only to the designers. Mm-hmm. And so it was, so I said to her, you have to have one. So I gave it to her. Yeah, so. This is kind of like being at the, this is like, I feel when I come in here, I'm at the, I felt like I was at the, at a giant ocean liner, like the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
And I'm the captain of the, I got the steering wheel here, you know. And
do you still draw by hand much, or does most things happen on a computer?
I don't even do anything anymore.
You don't do any of the drawing. You think, and you describe.
Yeah. Somebody has to have the ideas.
Of course.
Then, of course, you know, I'm lucky enough to afford pretty vast art departments.
Yeah.
I'm a very lucky man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Books everywhere.
Well, luck and hard work, yeah, and creativity,
yeah,
and vision.
One of my favorite awards, these are a bunch of art director awards here, but one of my favorite ones is this guy right here. This is pretty heavy. The Golden Frog.
What is the Golden Frog?
The Golden Frogs is from a place called the Cinematographers do an annual meeting together. So this is from Camry Image in Poland. And of course, the Golden Frog, I thought if I can have anything, I want to have a Golden Frog. So they gave me a, what does it say, with unique, unique visual sensitivity. Camry Image, 1916. So it's kind of like my friend Oliver Stapleton, a DP, had been trying to get me to come here forever. And I just finished Blade Runner 2049. So Amy and I flew from Budapest to Warsaw. And then they came and picked us up and took it. It was kind of like a Lifetime Achievement Award. But have it really nice because Oliver gave it to me, who's one of my old friends, great cinematographer. Lots of stories. How much time do you have? Tom took this picture in the water world on the set. He came over to visit and we talked about life.
Let's go say hi to Amy.
Okay. Amy's present, one of Amy's presents to me.
Gorgeous. So. What's hiding inside? Oh, wow. That is beautiful.
We have a lot of cameras. I haven't opened that in a while.
Do you have a favorite director that you work with? Or is that unfair to ask?
Well, the Coen brothers, Sam Mendes, probably Peter Weir, George Miller.
How does it change from director to director for you, the experience?
It doesn't. It's just it's the same thing. Everybody has a... everybody wants to make a good movie. Okay, so it's about how do you make a good movie, and everybody has a different technique. So the technique, you know, is, well,
it's like anything, getting in the room. You just have to get in the room. Once you're in the room, well, here's with Spielberg. I'll tell you a little Spielberg story. So he gave me a book called Memoirs of a Geisha, and I got it at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm a highly dyslexic, very slow reader. I like to really ruminate on things, and it takes me a while. So Amy says, "Oh God, you got to really power through this." And so, yeah, about midnight, he said, "I'm done." Okay, we got through about 3/4. I think I got it. And so the next day, I went to see Stephen over at Universal at his office, went into his boardroom and waited, and he walked in, and I said, "Oh, hi, Stephen." I said, "You know, we've met before." And kind of what I disarmed him. The first thing is you disarm if you can.
Yeah.
You have a story to disarm him with. I said, "Well, what?" He goes, "Well, where did we meet?" And I said, "Well, you were doing Hook on that little studio and he goes, "Oh yeah," and I was doing Bugsy, and you came across. Well, first of all, who was on that? Oh, Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman were on Hook. They heard Warren was next door, so they came in together, and all of a sudden Warren him, of course, and Barry Levinson, who was doing it, you know, who had done, you know, worked with all these guys, and all of a sudden there was this like big convergence of guys sitting around in a circle, and Alan Davio, who had worked with Stephen, he had done ET with Stephen, and so then all of a sudden Stephen comes walking in, he goes, "Where's my actors?" And then he sees everybody, he comes over, and everybody's kibitzing, and having such a great time, you know, wasting all their production time, right? You know, just having a little you know, round table, and then Alan runs over and gets Stephen. He says, "Stephen, you have to meet this guy, Dennis Gastner." He goes, "Well, I've heard about Dennis." He says, "Oh, nice to meet you. How are you?" I said, "Well, you know, this is a great meeting, isn't it? Really, really fun. We're having a good time." So it wasn't a long meeting, but so when he walked in the room, I said, "You know, we've met." But he didn't remember it. Of course, yeah. He wouldn't. You know, I mean, that would. And so he sat down, and I said to Stephen, I said, "I read this book. I'm kind of highly dyslexic." He goes, "I'm dyslexic too. How long did it take you?" I said, "Well, I actually didn't finish it. I got 3/4 of the way through it." He goes, "Yeah, they had to send me down to Mexico they put me in a little villa, and I took 3 days to read it." And I said, "Okay, good. All right." So, "All right, so we understand what we have to do, but can I have an idea, and it usually comes in one word, and I kind of synthesize things, and I said, if we can agree on this, we can work together." And I said, "And the word is layers." And he looked at me. It was like the longest minute of looking, and he reached across the table and says, "I want to work with you." And we ran out in the hallway, and Bonnie, the producer, and we jumped up and down. We all hugged each other and everything. It was good. I mean, that's technique.
Yeah.
That's technique. That's kind of coming all from Dean and everybody about finding the idea. What's the idea? What's the closest idea? What is the metaphor? What is the touchstone? What can we always go back to make things work?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you never use it again, but the idea is you've crystallized that into your vocabulary, into your mental thinking, your process of how you go about doing all that.
Oh. Yeah. You gotta take it?
No, calm down. It's my art director. Anyway,
so, what are you working on now?
We're gonna pick up doing some pickup shots for Electric State, which is the Russo Brothers film. My second one with them. Really, this is going to be an amazing film. Amazing, amazing film.
It's an emergency, maybe.
Yeah, let me just call.
Okay.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, can I call you back? I just have a visitor here. I'll be, 5 minutes or so? Okay, cool. Thanks. Bye.
This is a lovely impromptu interview and tour. I really thank you, Dennis. It's an honor.
I want to show you on the way out something that's one of my prized possessions other than Navy. Careful here. The steps are tricky. Things I want to show you. One is the Buddha. That is a 5-year project, finding him. I found him in looking throughout the world and all my travels. Amy and I were in a tour in Thailand with a bunch of friends Thailand and Burma, and then we came back to Thailand on New Year's Eve to come back to Los Angeles. And I said, maybe I'm gonna go out. I heard about this district. I'm just gonna have a little walk from the hotel. And so I went down and pulled down this road and was walking along. And all of a sudden, I got sucked into a doorway. It was like, phew. And I went in and there was a Chinese man, an old Chinese man, sitting at an old desk, and he just went like this, and went like this, and I sat down in this chair, and he picked up this old phone, and he said something in Chinese, and put it back down, and a young girl came, and I went, hi, she says, oh, I'm a granddaughter, I'll do the translation, and I said, okay. And she said, what are you interested in? And I said, I've been on a 5-year journey looking for my Buddha. And I can't find, I've seen a lot of Buddhas, but I can't find the one that's gonna fit there. And it has to fit there and be in the right tonality. And she said, okay. And she told the story to the grandfather, and the grandfather just went pointed like that, he didn't like that. So she says, she says, okay, just go down here, go with the first aisle down, and go to the end, and you'll find him. And so I got up, I went down exactly this end, and went down, and there he was. And I sat down on the floor, and I looked at him, and I said, thank you. And I came back and sat down, and then we negotiated the price, which was the numbers were exactly Amy's and my numbers, which happened to be amazing. And so,
are you a Buddhist?
Yeah. And so,
how long have you been Buddhist?
I think for my whole life, you know, I just always had that propensity.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so he sits here, kind of. So the story, and I asked, I said, well, where did he come from? And he said, well, when my father is a young man, came from China, he came through Burma, and he found this, and he put it on his back and brought it all the way to Thailand.
Wow.
He said, and he was waiting for the right person to come get it. So the Burmese, you can see, the Nouveau, because the Burmese were colonized by the French.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is 100 years old. He was on the board of certification for authenticity to all the Buddhas in Bangkok. And so he made a document, stamped it, his stamp for this. And so I got this. And so every time I come back from a travel, 3 Bond films, wherever I go, to any place, I bring back something, and I put them on the Buddha.
So these are all things you've brought back from?
From different parts of the world, yeah.
Wonderful.
The little, there's a little ball at the bottom. See behind the little ball?
Uh-huh.
Is a little a disc.
Yep, this one?
That's from Burning Man.
When did you go to Burning Man?
15.
Did you like it?
Oh, it was amazing, amazing. I was so exhausted. We went and we built.
Did you go the whole week?
Yeah, we built the camp. We went with the festival, and then we broke the camp down.
Which camp did you build?
Ashram
Galactica. Amazing.
My friend Chris Weitz, who was directed the Golden Compass with me.
Uh-huh.
We collaborated together on it, and Mercedes. We had a great trip.
Amazing.
Wonderful.
I've been going since 2001.
Do you go every year?
Maybe every other year.
Yeah.
But I went with Tom once. I think we were there in 2008 or something.
Right. Yeah, he got that old. He was like this about it, I think. It's an adventure. But he said he was with somebody that it was he picked up this a travel trailer that was a self-drive that he had to drive. You know that story.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that he had to drive. He'd never driven one before. And the couple who I think owned it, or I don't know how it happened, but he let's not get into that part, but anyway.
Do you have any advice to young filmmakers from a production designer's perspective? A young person getting into movies.
Oh my God. Learn as much as you can about everything, because it's going to be part of what you get demanded. The demand will come to you that you'll have to know everything.
Everything.
You have to know everything. And be a sponge and learn how to communicate. Don't be shy, get in the room and be yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dennis. I'm going to just cut this and then let's go say hi to Amy.